Every day, with the exception of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Erev Pesach, a Jew inserts into his tefillah a very important Mizmor Tehillim called Mizmor L'Soda Ha'Ril Hashem Kol Ha'aretz. Mizmor L'Toda. A Mizmor of Thanks. Now, first of all, this Mizmor, on a certain level, parallels, not exactly the Karban Toda, but it, in a certain level, is a somewhat of a Mishalem Harim Svasenu, like the Pasuk says. Gemara says that Avraham Avinu asked Hashem, what are we going to do after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed? Won't be able to bring Karbanos anymore. Hashem said, Mishalem Harim, I mean, it's a Pasuk, but Hashem, in response to Avraham Avinu's question, said, Mishalem Harim Svasenu. You can pay for Karbanos with your lips by reciting them. A very famous comment of Rabbeinu Yonah, Maseches Brachos, that it could be that even though tefillah itself may be derabanan, and certainly the nusach of tefillah is derabanan, that's for sure. The siddur, the organization of the siddur, which took place in the time of the context of the Atchik Nesach Gedola, and the disappearance of prophecy and the rise of formalized prayer. So, tefillah itself may have derabanan type of quality to it, but Rabbeinu Yonah says that it could be that the karbanos, saying the karban tamid, the ketores, these are deraisa. I mean, you get to shul late and you don't say the karbanos, could be you're missing out on the deraisa and you're chashuv to get to davening a few minutes early, so you could say the karbanos. At the very least, say the paragraph of the Talmud and the Ketores. So one of the things that we say is Mizmor L'Toda, a song of thanks to Hashem. And there's two entries, I mean there's more than two, but there are two entries in the Siddur book that I want to learn tonight, which are both fundamental teachings in the life of a Jew. Especially since this is a year for guys who are returning for a second year for Shana Bet, this is something that I think might be inappropriate for a Shana. Meaning, it's not inappropriate, but it's an avodah which may not be fully appreciated by someone who is just being introduced to some of the rudiments of what it means to be an Eved Hashem and speaking that language of Eved Hashem, as opposed to like, yeah, there's mitzvos and like Torah and like I don't want to do averos, but speaking the language of what it means to be an Eved Hashem, speaking the language of Yirah Shamayim, speaking the language of growth and of going beyond what's expected of oneself. So this might be overwhelming for somebody who's a first-year speaker of these types of ideas, but already for you guys, it's really chashuv, especially the second piece. How a person has to comport themselves as an Eved Hashem. So Rav Kook says, Mizmor L'Soda Ha'Ril Hashem Kol Ha'aretz. And one of the reasons for this alone I love Rav Kook is that sometimes just by, I don't know what it is, sometimes just by him like writing the Pasuk over in the commentary, you're already like, you're keyed in to something that you don't, seeing it out of its context, and you know, you're looking at a piece of paper at a sitter that has the entire text of the Mizmor, like you don't see, but as soon as he pulled it out, it's like, what a strange pasuk. Mizmor L'Soda Ha'Ril Hashem Kol Ha'aretz. And just to kind of like slide into what Rav Kook is going to be teaching us here, it is quite peculiar that such an intimate Mizmor, presumably Mizmor L'Soda Ha'Ril Hashem Kol Ha'aretz, Mizmor L'Soda is being expressed by a person who went through a very personal, whether we see this as an expression of an actual Karban Toda, you know, someone who was sick who got healed, or was in jail and got freed, or it's just the soulful expression of a psalmist of a poetic soul trying to trying to express a very deep-seated personal thanks and appreciation for some spiritual, physical, emotional, financial salvation of Hashem. So, Mizmor Lesoda, the next four words are so they don't fit. It's not the beginning of the Mizmor. Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. The whole world is singing to God. Actually, no, you're singing to God. You're having a very intimate, prati, individualistic experience, feeling the hashkacha of the Master of the Universe in your very particular life. Without Rav Kook, I would have maybe, myself, maybe I would have said that on a certain psychological level, when a person, you know, experiences a salvation and experiences a thankfulness, it seems as if the rest of the world is singing along with you. It happens to be strangely quiet right now outside, but the old city is a place where there's always music and there's, you know, there's no shortage of clarinets or accordions being played at all times. If you're in a good mood, the song of that clarinet or the song of that accordion is just like sweet background music to your avodas Hashem. But if you're in like a sad mood, you know, someone that I care about very deeply who's sitting in this room recently lost someone in their family, that all of a sudden that that music becomes like haunting and sad, because your internal state affects the way that you experience, you know? Like, if you're in a joyful mood and you're counting down the minutes till you see someone you haven't seen, your parents are coming, you know, to visit you, so the tick of the clock is like singing. But if, you know, there's like a deadline to get in some college essay or something, and the ticking of the clock is maddening. It's crazy. So, in my simplicity, maybe I would have tried to say, Mizmor Lesoda, a song of thanks, Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. Like, it appears as if the whole world is singing along with me. But if Cook is going to say something actually much more profound, why would a Mizmor, which is expressing a very internal, thankful, individualistic type of experience, why is that Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz? So Rav Kook says as follows. Excuse me. Af al pi shekol adam hu prati. And already you see Rav Kook's question, which is the question we just asked. Even though it's true that every individual, every person, is a prat, is a piece of a puzzle. Sagur binyani atzma, closed up in his own world. He's locked away in his own world. Margish l'atzmo ba'atzmo, esmach ovav v'inuyav. He feels in himself, by himself, l'atzmo ba'atzmo, et ke'evav v'inuyav. Eskeivav, his machovav, his machov, his pains, and his inuyav, his afflictions, like the inuyim of Yom Kippur. But a person is very sensitive to his own pains, his own afflictions, to the point that you can't really sometimes like, what? Why is this person so moody? Like, why are they in such a bad mood? Because I'm happy right now. I can't. Get into your afflictions. Your afflictions are so you. What's going on inside of you? Nathanael and I were talking before. Rav Kook one time was doing a Din Torah, and he excused himself. He said, "We need to take a little recess over here." He was sitting on a bezdin. He was dying. There were two people who were arguing about some business deal that fell through and who was responsible to pay for cleaning up the mess, whatever. And Rav Kook said, "We need to take a break." And he went outside, and one of his Talmidim saw him pacing back and forth, saying over and over to himself, people care about money. People care about money. They care about money, even though you don't understand what that means. They care about money. They care about money. You have to take this seriously. They care about money. Money is important to people. Right? And Rav Kook was like saying this over and over to himself, because like in his world, that wasn't, there was no pain, there was no affliction that had anything to do with money. He was totally removed. A poor woman once came to his house and asked for tzedakah, and he was confused why she got upset when he gave her the equivalent of like a half an agura, which is bigger than like the 10 shekel piece. And he's like, I gave her the bigger one. I understand. He like didn't know what money was. Your own world is like your own world. You're a prati. And for a tzaddik, that's the tzaddik's world. It's like, but we all know what that means when you're feeling in a certain place or in a certain way, and you feel like people can't relate to you. And the truth is, not only does a person feel their pain and their affliction, but nobody feels the simcha the way the chasan and the kala do. Yeah, happy for you, and not so sweet and so cute, and it reminds me of my own simcha that I, right? Again, it goes back to myself. It reminds me of when I was a chasan and a kala, or it reminds me of what it's going to be like when I'm going to be a chasan, or I'm going to be a kala. But it's about me. I feel my simcha in this unique way. The Gemara says elsewhere that a wife or a husband only die for the other one, which doesn't mean that they die for each other. It means that when chas v'shalom, when the husband passes away or when the wife passes away, the other spouse, they're the only ones who really get it. Because they're, that's etzem yatzem I basar mi basri. Everyone else is like, oh, that's sad. But only the husband or the wife is the one who like needs to take medication and who doesn't know how to go on. And only the person who failed their driving test. Like for other person, like, oh, it's annoying. Lahavdil between the last thing I said. Oh, that's so annoying for you to take it again. And the person's like, yeah, but you don't understand what that means. You're not taking this seriously. V'chulu. Aval lo gam kin klali. But even though a person is a prati and he's sagur b'inyan atzmo and he's totally closed up and he's locked in his own world and all he experiences is his own dalet amos. And there's a frustration in that. There's something beautiful in that. But a person is also klali. He yearns to be, and he is, can't escape it. He's part of a tzibur. He's part of a group. Midini. He's a statesman. He's part of a country. Mishutaf b'chaya chevro polala. He's a partner in the life of society, of the chevro. Upolala, and he has an effect on it. Letov lemutav. Whether he likes it or he doesn't like it, whether she intends to or doesn't intend to, a human being is medini, is a shutaf in the bria. Asher kein kol hofa'a letova velevracha, li yeshua la'ara ruchonis, haba mitoch esrom mas nafshes, hi muchreches lespashet. So that despite the fact that a person is an individual and I experience my joy and I experience my Yeshua that Hashem did for me and I experience my own individual appreciation and gratitude towards God, every appearance for good and for blessing, for salvation, every illumination of spirituality, which comes as a result of some elevation of my soul, it by force spreads out into the life of everybody around me. By way of all of these mysterious means, different ways that feelings and emotions are delivered from one person to another. In that strange way through like a smile or not a smile, or the way you shake the person's hand, the way you say Shalom Aleichem to them. Somehow all these different means of transmitting emotion and creating the hive mind that is a society, creating the feeling of a yeshiva or of a dorm room or of a house. Every little act of good and blessing and salvation and recognition of those things, spiritual awakening, affects the klal. V'kol chelek katan mitnuos haruchanios halalu holech u'mitztaref l'cheshbon gadol. Every tiny little action, kol chelek katan mitnuos haruchanios, every movement of spirituality, mitztaref l'cheshbon gadol. So that we don't really feel it, we don't recognize it as it's happening, but the decision to turn back over after I wake up, or to get there that 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes early to say karbanos like a mensch, is not a personal decision, but is one of 100 decisions that you'll make for each of the 100 days of yeshiva this year, that together create a cheshbon gadol of hashpa on people around you, not just on yourself. Of course that's true, like Rav Golovich used to tell us all the time. Rav Golovich used to tell us in the summers when I was in Masor Kolal, he used to say, you don't know, you don't feel the change by the days or by the weeks. He said, 5 years from now, you look back, you see how the summer changed your life. And he's right, 100% right. You don't feel it as it's happening days, weeks, even 2 months in the summer. But you see how the trajectory of your life is altered by these tiny little movements. And all the more so, how your tiny little movements in your life affect the klal around you. It's remarkable and incredible and scary as a teacher, thinking back to tiny little comments or small gestures, both of encouragement and of discouragement, of yayosh. And I can still remember teachers who, I still remember a very particular incident where a few of my friends and I snuck out of school found like a hole in the fence by recess, and we snuck out. We didn't do anything dangerous. It was like cool to escape school, and we snuck back in. And the Rebbe that I had gave us very sharp rebuke, and said something to the effect of like, "Nothing will ever come from you." Like, he must have had a pretty hard day. We didn't do anything that bad. Like, nothing could ever come from you. And like, I'm 33 years old. This wasn't in high school, it was way before that. And like, I still remember that. Now, I don't believe it, because I had plenty of other teachers who told me differently. And even this teacher is a perfectly sweet and amazing person, but like, it's terrifying. And I remember my third grade, this I can tell you, because I remember my third grade teacher, Rabbi Malin. I remember my third grade teacher, just the opposite. I remember him like, I don't even know what he did. My mother used to pack me these boxed little pies. And I don't even remember what the joke was, but like, he used to come over and say like, lemon pie in like a funny accent. And make me laugh and like, make me feel important and like, put his arm around me and like, make me feel like a bar hachi. You know, and like, and I'm 33 years old, and I was in third grade, and I still like feel like the warmth of that person, of that prat affecting my klal, and by extension the klal of. I still remember the shul rabbi where I grew up, the way that he would make havdalah, and you know, the way he would smell the besamim. And I do it with my kid, meaning like, you have no clue. You have no, like, and I know for a fact that there are students whose lives I've altered, both in a good way, and people that I lost my cool with and said something that I wish I could take back now, you know? Little tiny acts of encouragement. Whoa, like, you look so happy today. You look like awesome. Did you have like a good weekend? So that you say to your friends, your roommate, or whatever, like, and that changes his whole day, which changes his whole week, which changes his whole life. Kol chelak katan mitnus haruchanus halalu holich mitstar v'cheshbon gadol ad shu poel as haroshim haratzoi lizgabra al hatzilus elyona v'shal kedusha shal das Hashem elyona ha'oleches u'mafleses la es nesivus ba'olam al yedei kol mahalchei havaya. My tiny little actions, my tiny little bracha, my tiny little Yeshua, my tiny little ha'ara ruchanis, my gratitude to Hashem for those things alters the trajectory of all of existence, of all of the Havaya Kula, Mahalche Havaya. Shal kol inyoni haklal, inyoni haprat. And then Rav Kook says, and this is the pshat in the kasha that we asked. What a strange way to begin a mizmor. Mizmor, the soda, song of thanks. Hariul Hashem kol haaretz, the whole world is singing. So the pshat is not, says Rav Kook, that the whole world is singing because, like, in my mind, psychologically, I'm happy, so, like, the whole world is, like, smiling. If I'm happy, then the moon is smiling. If I'm sad, then the sun is frowning. No, that's not the pshat. The pshat is, Al Kain, Had HaKol Shel Mizmor L'Soda. Here comes the beautiful lilt, the song of Mizmor L'Soda. Gam b'hava oso hayotzes mehamis libo shal yachid. Even that expression which comes from the heart of the individual. Hamalei rikshei todos l'kela moshia v'ona beis tzara. When a person feels that Hashem is in my life, that Hashem personally interjected himself into my life and made Yeshua a salvation, answered me at a time of despair. Holeichu v'nishma b'tor had kol klali hamakif v'ola ad kedei hamida hakolela sarila shem kol haaretz. So that what started out as a kasha, what started as a question, and us not being able to understand, what does that mean, Harvul Hashem Kol Haaretz? I'm singing my personal song of thanks. And the pshat is that by me individually, my individual experience and expression of the fact that, did you know that Hashem, who is so beyond, like one of my favorite, probably one of my favorite teachings of all time, it's definitely in the top 10, is found in Rav Schwab's commentary to the Siddur on Adon Olam, where he explains what he heard from a student, from a student, from a student, from a student, of I mean, he himself was a student, of Rav Hirsch. Story that Chassam Sofer once asked, like, what was your Rebbe's, like, what was his, like, major? So Rav Hirsch explained, this was like Rav Hirsch's number one vart, and it became one of my top 10, that Adon Olam, Piyut Adon Olam, is Adon Olam Hashem Alach V'Terem Alach V'Yitzinu V'Alei Yisna Sogach V'Sukha Zem Alach Shonach V'Achar K'Hosek Olay V'Dai V'Loch Nera V'Oya V'Oveh V'Hu Yeh B'Tifara V'Hu Echad V'Ein Sheni L'Ham Shilo Lach B'Ira V'Li Reishis V'Yisachlis V'Lo Ha'oz V'Ham Yisra. All of that, what I just read, the first half of Adon Olam, he is the master of the world, rules over everything, he was, is, and will be, he's before and after, and he's incredibly distant from the world and beyond and holy and powerful. No beginning, no end. The second half of Adon Olam is V'hu Keli V'chai Goali Tzorchev Li V'Yisra V'hu Nisi Manos Li Manos Kosi V'yom Ekra. Everything is, he's my God. He's my God, Keli v'chai goli. He is my living, savior. Manaskosi v'yom mikra. That the God who is so beyond actually cares about me and my life. And when a person experiences the Mizmor L'Soda, he experiences the Adon Olam coming into his life in a personal way, he opens up the gates for the rest of creation to be Haru L'Hashem Kol Aretz. And a person who does that consistently, a person who constantly recognizes Hashem in his life, opens up channels that first his immediate surroundings and then a little bit further and then the yeshiva and then until from that Mizmor L'Soda, from that person singing a song of thanks, comes Haru L'Hashem Kol Aretz, that the entire world is singing the thanks of Hashem and experiences the remarkable Hashkacha Pratis of Hashem in their life. So we still have a few more minutes. We must do the second piece because this is really so essential. We'll do it quick. If it was Hashem b'simcha, bow l'fanav birnana. Serve God with joy, simcha, bow l'fanav birnana. Come before Him with rejoicing. Serve God with happiness, come before Him with rejoicing. Hasimcha pnimis. Keshihi miskaberes ba'ola b'neshama, him oreres es koch zachayim m'mikoram, yos maleim naharo b'tosef es bracha v'ashva kedusha. Simcha, right, as we know, we've reviewed this many times, if duas Hashem, b'simcha. B'simcha the svar makadoshim, talmid of Hashem tofse, b'simcha is the osios machshava. Simcha is an internal state. Like we've pointed out many times, that the word happiness comes from the same shoresh as the word happen. Something has to happen for me to become happy. Simcha has nothing to do with something that happened. Something could have happened not so good and I could still be b'simcha, machshava. It's a state of mind. Simcha is pnimius. Simcha is an internal state. She misgaberes v'ola b'neshama. It strengthens itself and comes up in the soul. And ma'oreres koch zachayim v'korah. It makes the whole system work. Everything comes back from its source. There's a certain lightness that a person feels with simcha. Maleim nahara b'tosefes bracha v'ashpa kedusha. Aval kedei she'egia adam madrega zu shel simcha, harei lavodas Hashem hashlama, tzarech hu l'orer es kochos enav shayidei hashpa'on shal pu'ulas chitzonios. But in order to get to a state of internal simcha, sometimes a person needs external stimuli. Like Rabbi Nachman said, sometimes you need mila d'shtuta. Sometimes you need stupid things to get you into a state of simcha. You need to do something silly to get to a state of simcha. But more than that, Rav Kook says, to get to a state of simcha, sometimes you need what? You need ma'oros, things that are ma'orer you from the chitzonios, pu'ulos chitzonios. Shememu gam keim harnana. What's the difference between simcha and renana? Rejoicing. Rejoicing, says Rav Kook, haramas hakol tunuas magbila simcha. Rejoicing is jumping around, flailing your arms, raising your voice, getting into it, really like... Shehi makdemes bezman avo mu'ucha b'mal b'etzim ha'odah. Rav Kook says, if du es Hashem b'simcha, bo l'fanav birnana. So we're used to saying this over and over again, but really, it should have said, bo l'fanav birnana, if du es Hashem b'simcha. Come before God with rejoicing, clap and sing and dance and get excited. And then you'll come to a state of Yiddus Hashem B'Simcha, then you'll be able to have this internal state. So Rav Kook says, and this is really the Yisod that I wanted to share tonight, we don't have enough time to talk about it, but... You guys ever heard of the Disco Rav?
Yeah.
Gustman?
The
Disco Rav.
Friday night.
Go to the discos and pull people out, and schmooze with them, and be makar people. So when I was Shana Aleph, I remember one of their band talking about... one of the things that he would say to people is, do you ever see a fish out of water? Looks like it's dancing, right? But its mom is dying. Sometimes a person sometimes a person is flailing around and jumping around and dancing because they're so numb, and they need the music to be so loud, and they need the experience to be so raw, because they need to feel something, because they're so broken inside. If Dvas Hashem, the simcha is the goal, so that when David HaMelech wrote in Tehillim, if Dvas Hashem, the simcha, bo l'fan of birnana, even though bo l'fan of birnana sometimes comes first, realize that that is totally secondary to the internal experience of b'machshava of simcha. Like sometimes you see a person like jumping up and down and getting very excited, but I can guarantee you that Rav Nevenzahl, who is like sitting still and b'sheket or b'shalva, is in a deeper state of simcha. Someone who's at peace, an inner peace with themselves, is b'machshava, is happy. Who doesn't need like a big, big thing to like move them, to shake them. Like I remember I once heard from Rav Arya Levine's grandson, Benji Levine. My shul rabbi I was talking about before, with the Havdalah and his brother. So I remember Benji Levine once, he used to spend the summers with his grandfather, Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, Rav Arya Levine. And he said he remembers like one day before davening, he brought this like from America. His mom like packed him. He was a kid. His mom packed him like one of those, you know those things, they look like kind of like binoculars, but they have like slides in them, and like you press a button and it like flips the slide. You know? Yeah, those are great. So he said he had one of those, and it was sitting on the table. And Rav Arya's grandfather was like before davening, had a few minutes before davening, and he said he walked into like the kitchen, and Rav Arya like picked it up and like held it up to his eyes, and he like pressed the button, and like all of a sudden like, you know, flipped this thing, and like there was like a picture of like a toucan or something on the thing. And he said Rav Arya was like, he was like an old man, he was his grandfather, he was like an old man already, and he said he started like a little, he's like Niflis Abayre, he was like going crazy from this, like, and then he was like going nuts, right? And then he turned around and he saw Benji, and he said, okay, enough Olam Hazeh, you have to go down. But like from a tiny little, you know, like for most people, like by the age of 15 they've already like jumped out of an airplane and like rode on the back of an elephant, and like Bo l'fan of birnana is an external thing which leads the person to if there's Hashem b'simcha. But for the tzaddik doesn't need these big. Everyone needs birnana. Bo l'fan of birnana. You sing, and we dance, we clap, and we get into it. But nobody should make a mistake, and this is why I said this thing, which is really only for a Shana Bet and beyond type of thinking. Did it ever happen where like you were so simchadik? And like you were having such an awesome day, you were so besimcha, and like your friend's like, everything okay? Like you look sad. And you're totally not sad, you're just like not clappy. You're just not clappy. Been there, right? If Dvas Hashem besimcha, bo the fun of your nana. Bo the fun of your nana. Says Rav Kook, Haramas hakol betnua makbila simcha, shimuk demes bezman. A lot of times that comes in order to get me to a state of simcha, but what? The real thing is to be in a real internal state of simcha. Bo l'fan of birnana means I need external stimuli to get me to a place of simcha. Simcha means I'm in a state of simcha and I can mashpi on someone else from me. I'm overflowing with simcha. If there's Hashem b'simcha, bo l'fan of birnana. And the two of them are related. Mizmor the Soda Arila Hashem Kol Ha'aretz, that by my being in a state of thankfulness, of gratitude, of internal simcha, Harila Hashem Kol Ha'aretz. The question is, does a person need Bo the fun of Birnana to get to a state of Idus Hashem Simcha, or are they a fountain of simcha which leads the whole world to Harila Hashem Kol Ha'aretz? Thus is the kasha. The answer is for you to answer. Okay, we'll have to pause here.